I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. The role of Cynthia in the hit Broadway musical Priscilla, Queen of the Desert called for someone who was a feisty Filipino, over-the-top funny, and shoots ping pong balls out of her hoo-ha. When JLA and Marcos read the breakdown, her first thought was, "Oh, I am right there. That is perfect." And after her audition, the casting directors thought so too, and she was hired. JLA is a veteran of Broadway shows like Miss Saigon, Sweet Charity, The Wedding Singer, and A Chorus Line. After tearing her ACL, that's when her TV and film career kicked into high gear, appearing on shows like 30 Rock, Rescue Me, and the film Morning Glory. Add that to her accomplished sketch and improv work, regularly appearing with NYC's UCB, I'm surprised she had time to talk to me at all. Thankfully, she did, and we had a great conversation. We talked about how she was cast in Priscilla, weird commercial auditions, and how you really don't need an agent when you're looking for work on Broadway. And now, here's JLA.
How did you get involved in Priscilla?
Just a regular audition process. But of course, what was required, the audition breakdown was aimed for the role of Cynthia, the feisty mail order bride, who is over the top, funny, needs to be Filipino. Well, not needs to be Filipino. She sings in a Filipino accent and kind of goes off in Filipino. And the one thing I have going for myself, I am a kind of a spicy Filipino actress, singer, dancer, blah, blah, blah. And went into audition and pretty much knew that the character, knowing that she has the shoot ping pong balls as her talent, I was like, oh, I am right there. That is perfect. I love it. And also the casting directors, thankfully, they know me too well that it's right up my alley, literally. So I auditioned and met the creative team, and it went off really well the first time I went in. And when I went into audition, I pretty much sprang in the role of Cynthia into that room, already singing in the Filipino style, and kind of just played in that room.
So you pretty much had a handle on her right away?
I knew how I would play her initially, because people said, how did you prepare for this? And I was like, really? I really just played my mom. My mom turned up 10,000 degrees. In addition to, I've been to enough karaoke bars where the character is kind of based on that person who really believes, oh, it's so sad, that she can make it. I think we've all seen that enough. We've seen American Idol. We've seen everything of just that person believing so much that they are it, and when they're not. So I pretty much just played that. And speaking in a Filipino dialect is fun. It's silly because it's like you're making fun of all your relatives, and doing that in front of people, that's one thing I have been grown up to do very well. Like, one thing that I do know how to do is make fun of the Filipino accent. So I just had fun with that.
Now, when you audition for a show like this, is it, because I've never auditioned for like a big, huge Broadway show, is it kind of like a film or a television audition? Do they give you the sides already?
Actually, at this audition, they gave me so much. They gave me, the scene in which Cynthia does, which is, normal. But they also give you different songs in the show, because this track, not only does she have to sing her own song, they were mainly concerned about how I would be able to sing the rest of the score, which is even harder, because I had to make sure I get all the harmonies for all the pop songs that they're singing in the show, because there's only like 6 female voices and like 20 guys. So they wanted to make sure that the female voices were really prominent, so that it wasn't just male heavy. So they really wanted to make sure I had the vocal chops, which was nerve-wracking to me, because I was like, I can I can sing, but I'm not one of those people who do the ripping thing. I sing the Broadway, you know, I have the vibrato, it's not cute, I'm not going to record an album. Uh-huh. But that was the harder part of it, because they would give you a whole bunch of songs, and they said, okay, you're coming in next week. I had no problem with the size, but it's the songs where I was like, I had to be prepared for different harmonies, potentially, and that kind of stuff is a little harder, because I'm trained to more be a ham and fun, and I can sing, but I just need a little bit more time when it comes to that. But also, what's different from, obviously, the film and television world is I could play the whole room and keep on using the whole stage. I didn't feel like I had to constrict myself in front of, like, where's the camera shot? I would lean on the piano. I would use the windows that are there. I could move up and down. So I really felt like I could just use my whole body and I'd not feel constrained to what is the frame, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it frees me up a lot more.
And you guys had a tryout in Toronto, is that right?
Toronto, woo-hoo. Yeah, that was my hometown.
And did the show change any from the tryout to when you guys opened on Broadway?
Not terribly. There might have been just changes in terms of how they're going to set up the opening number, which was Raining Men, and they just wanted to make sure the storyline was specific right away, that people knew we're in a drag club, and if anything, we should have minor one-liners here and there, maybe a bit of staging here and there, but I think really the essence of the show hasn't changed a lot. They might have taken a couple profanity words out and put them here, put a shit here, a fuck here, take out a shit here and there, you know, just to be like, oh, we shouldn't have too much, but it was just little things like that that were changed more than anything. That's what I felt was, like, changed.
And you said a couple seconds ago you're originally from Toronto. So did you get your start there, or how did you end up in New York?
Well, mainly all my work was done in New York. I came to New York to go to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, also known as EMDA. And I came here, I studied at the conservatory and mainly worked in New York and based myself out of New York and everything like that. And I did all the Broadway shows here. And so going back to Toronto was really the first time I've worked professionally back home at all.
How was that? Like your homecoming? Did your family and friends come out and see you?
Yeah, it was really awesome because, I mean, you can make it on Broadway and it's great, but unless people come here, they ain't gonna see it. You know, it's like, oh, Broadway, that's cool. But when are you coming home to perform? I'm like, that's like being in the major leagues and going, well, when are you gonna come back to our high school and perform? But I'm like, no, I'm on Broadway. But going back home, it was really great because when people, you know, can't come to New York, they can actually see us there, and knowing that it was coming to Broadway, they got a sense of, oh, this is, you know, the grand scale and coming to New York and being the original company. It was really nice for people to see that and just to see friends after, you know, 10 years from not being home. So it was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just, what's sad is, there I am on stage shooting ping pong balls out my hoo-ha, and people come backstage going, you haven't changed! You haven't changed a bit! And I just think, what? I'm glad, but, I mean, I didn't do that before. I know I like to have fun, but I guess I haven't changed.
Not that much fun, hey!
Now, I know. Crazy.
Did you always do improv? Because you do stuff with UCB as well, right?
Yeah, I always loved improv. I think I trained as a dancer, and so mainly when I got into Broadway, my first musical was Miss Saigon, but I really had to wait for there was one specific track in there that was more of a dancer track as opposed to a singer track. So I've always kind of had the dance background. And then at one, I believe it was maybe one acting class, I felt what improv felt like, which was just being, dare I say, in the moment and just playing. And because I love to be physical in terms of dancing, I felt like the improv kind of incorporated that somehow. I was able to, like, just enjoy being in the moment physically, and I love physical comedy. So I think when you add all that together, it just kind of was a place for me to play. I would do shows, cause, you know, like 8 times a week, the same thing over and over again. But then I would be able to go to improv and just kind of feel that, like, monotony of, like, that boring kind of same thing over and over again. Kind of release. I was able to just, you know, play, which I, you know, obviously love to do after doing 8 shows a week and the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. And how did you get your first? How did you get your first agent?
Let's see. How did I?
Is that why you were still in school?
Yeah, well, I did have a representation in school, but I remember just, you know, sending mailings out, and I, you know, there's sometimes, I think there were certain classes here, at either like the Actors Connection, where you know, you take a class, or it's more of like, you know, a workshop. A quick one day to meet one-on-one with different agents and stuff, and I remember meeting an agent there, but I will say that most of my work since it was on Broadway, you can pretty much as an actor, let's just say, get your own work on Broadway because they have so many open calls. You know, Actors Equity is very good about having open calls for different musicals, even if they're not currently looking to replace anybody. So a lot of times I would audition anyway, and there would be an opportunity for me, the casting director. I would probably not be right for the show or anything, but I would be in a certain file, which I'm sure would be like Asian file, like in case we need anything, we know her type. And so I kind of consistently worked mainly because of the open calls, and I would just go to those calls, and then eventually when things got more specific, I would be able to say to my agent, okay, I think there's this musical coming up, or I know so-and-so is leaving this show, and I know that that would be a track, can you look into that? But mainly it was on my own in a sense.
And you also, I actually remember you in Morning Glory. How was that?
Oh my gosh, I loved it. right before that, I just finished doing a Chorus Line, and I had torn my ACL, and which was a wonderful blessing. No, it was a wonderful, it was awesome. It was an awesome blessing because I knew that I really wanted to tap into the comedy world and not focus so much on the dance shows. Because, you know, like, I'd get a call to go into a dance show, and I just thought, I don't want to get, not stuck, but I knew I wanted to do more comedy. So once I tore my ACL, the first thing, you know, I called my agent and manager and be like, okay, that's it. No more dancing for a while. Let's really focus on this film and television thing. And so since we did that, I was able to really focus on that, and thankfully I went in for this role, and I can't believe we filmed it in New York. It was close to me in Harlem, and it was so much fun. It was very, very easy and physically easy. I couldn't believe how my body was just so happy to just be silly from the waist up. And it was definitely a lot of fun.
Did you have, like, any interactions with, like, Diane Keaton or, like, you know, Early Morning in the Trailer or Harrison Ford?
What I really remember is one of the scenes is a big scene, and Diane Keaton's there. She's in rollers in the scene, and I have my head rollers, too, in the scene. And we're just waiting there, waiting for the next take, and she has a lot of energy. And she was talking about how when she was in Hair, and it just in between takes, she would just be just so much energy, and I'm just completely nervous, of course, like, what do I say? So I was just listening to her, and she would just talk about different shows she did, and I just thought that was the coolest time there, just sitting there, listening to her tell about her stories, and that was cool. And Rachel McAdams, who's also Canadian, I was able to, like, kind of get that in there, like, hey, you know, we're both Canadian, that kind of thing. But she's just wonderful. It's not like I would ever be nervous about talking with her or anything because she's just so sweet, so nice. That's how Canadians are, I think.
Well, you know, with big people like that, I've talked to people, like, huge stars, and I'm always afraid I'm just going to say something stupid.
I know. mean, like, if I don't speak English, I get it, but, like, it, like, Jews, they're just people. That's what, I don't know why you forget that sometimes. Like, I do. I go, oh, my gosh, Harrison Ford, what do I say? What do I say? Do I say his whole name? Because that's his name. And do Harry, but, you know, I don't want to bother him, but I just keep on thinking they're real people. They talk to people. As long as I'm not pouncing on him or jumping on him or just doing anything weird, tugging on him, I'm sure we can interact as normal people, but it's just kind of really cool to have them in front of you. And also, I mean, when we did a big read-through for the film, it was so cool to just see people try different things, you know, like, just not have the finished product there yet. And I've never seen Rachel McAdams, you know, do that. So just kind of see people going through the process of, you know, rehearsal. And I realized, oh, I do that too. So we're just seeing people. So it's cool. Definitely cool.
Now, you're working full-time now, and it's all at night. What's your days like? Are you still pursuing work, or are you just now just kind of running errands
in
your life? Or, like, what is
it? Oh, it's funny. It's, now we're open, immediately I, right away, my agents, managers, we're just like, okay, that's it. Let's go. Let's move on to the, not move on to the next thing, but my days are free, which means we got to fill them up. So it's even right after this, you know, just going to another, you know, audition for this, for that. And, but it's nice that we can be a little bit more specific in terms of what I do want to do. So if anything, it's busier now than it was during rehearsal. Because rehearsal was just kind of waiting around sometimes in the theater. But this is now every day kind of different changes. It changes a little bit because you never know. Like in normal actor's life, you never know what you're going to have to prepare for different auditions and that kind of stuff. So it's busier now when I'm running a show than it is during rehearsal for me.
Wow. I wouldn't even have thought of that, I guess.
Yeah. I guess because I feel my... with the show, the role, Cynthia, and all that stuff was already done for me. I've been doing it for 3 months already, and I kind of feel like, okay, I got her. And they didn't change anything terribly in my number. So by the time I got to New York and we were in rehearsal here, I was like, well, okay, let me work on something. I don't really have anything to not really work on, but I kind of felt like the more I work on her or tweak her, it would just be too much. I'm already doing 8 times a week, so let me just figure out on stage and play.
Yeah.
And because the more you work on something, especially on a character like this, it's like, is this funny? Is this funny? Is this not funny? I was like, oh, I don't want to get into that place. I just want to just play her on stage.
Have you had any nightmare auditions? Like, what's the, you know, like you've gone out of the room, you're like, oh my God, what just happened in there?
Normally, it's mainly the commercial auditions that are just so raw and weird. You know, like, you go in for the irritable bowel syndrome commercial. You walk in and you lift up your shirt, and they don't even take your face. They just want to check if your stomach would be the one that they're going to draw on. And you walk out just feeling so vulnerable and weird and thinking, like, I don't have that much training. I'm not from Juilliard, but the person next to me probably, you know, had real training, and we do the same thing. It's just the weirdest, it's so vulnerable in commercial auditions, because as an actor, you want to get everything right. But how do you get it right when all you have to do is, you know, lift up your shirt or hold a credit card or, you know, so it's mainly those kind of things. You just feel so weird. But as for, like, really bad auditions, when it comes to singing, I can sing, I can do it. Sometimes my type might require me to, sometimes they'll think I can sing really with this pop riff kind of stuff, and a couple times I know casting directors have asked me to do stuff like that, and I'm just embarrassed because I just sound like, oh, it's this person with this operatic sound-ish, and, you know, Simon Cowell on American Idol would be like, what? You've got that Broadway sound, and that's just gross. It's just kind of embarrassing when I go in trying to do something that really I have no right doing. There's no reason I should be trying to riff like I'm Aretha Franklin, you know? It's that kind of thing. It's when I go in for things that I know I'm not right for, when I should have said, I shouldn't be going in, you know? Those kind of moments.
Yeah, I've had commercial auditions before, back to that, where, like, they've actually yelled at me. You know, you're doing it wrong! And you just don't... I just drive home just, like, so angry, you know? It's like, I don't know if I'm angry at them or angry at me.
Yeah, that's what I say. So it ends up being, it's really nothing. But if you start thinking, when I chew, and I chew for McDonald's, do I chew with my mouth open? Do I enjoy it? Do I close my eyes? I should still have my eyes for the camera, right? But chew with my mouth closed. And it's just like, how do I enjoy my food? It's the weirdest thing. The mind games that we play for the simplest little thing would be like, I should have chewed with my mouth closed. Like, it's just the chilliest thing. I know. What are we doing?
I know. What are we doing? It's crazy. You're right.
I know.
And finally, my last question is, what's your advice to actors?
I really think because of this improv thing that I feel improv is so important, because I feel like auditions are like improv. Improv are like auditions. You're so scared. Every improv scene I do, I get so scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I always feel like the more you do improv, because a lot of people don't want to do it because they're so scared. But that's kind of that same feeling you get when you go into an audition. You're scared. At least in an audition, you're more prepared. So I think the more times you put yourself in a horrible situation, like improv scene, the more you have that build-up of, okay, whatever happens, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And so you have that slight confidence. You're still scared, but I feel like doing improv is so invaluable. My mouth is cold here in New York. It is so important because it really helps you become less scared. I think everybody should do it because you live in the moment, and that's, as an actor, you need to be in that moment and listen and see what happens, what's needed immediately, and that's what improv is. Not thinking ahead, it's just being in that moment.
Thanks, Jay Elaine, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.